For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Holy cow!
Please shut up!
Please shut up!
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Here comes Brave! Here's the threat of the play!
You're killing me, Smalls!
Brave win! Brave win! Brave win!
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Me play football?
Lance Dooley and a Georgia damn Bulldog, baby!
Sorry, Lake. My mom made me put on my jacket, and then she made me do the dishes.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That's so funny. Last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
Just a bit outside.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
You think you'll ever get out of here?
One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
The Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Oh yeah, crank it up like it's 1998 on the Second String Podcast, baby.
Man, you took it back. And the rationale behind Spice Girls on the radio this morning.
What's going on with this? I literally asked you, what do you want to start the string
and
cheese
I did.
Heads
that was
with?
Me. That was me.
You gave me Spice Girls. What's up with this? Why?
I did see in our radio studio, it looked like there was a nostalgic Polaroid of some workers, and I don't understand, in the WGAU studio. Of them in front of the Spice Girls tour bus back in the day. That's what it looked like.
Ain't nothing in the world wrong with that. I'm Team Spice Girl, by the way. I've always been Team Spice Girl.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know our girl down the hall, Lauren, in the sales?
Yeah.
Lauren's a brilliant individual. She is like Spice Girl fan number one in the world. Like, left. Like, she's the biggest Spice Girl fan left on Earth.
I was going to say, there isn't many left because they won't get back together for some reason. I don't know what it is.
It means she ranks one out of 20, but still, nothing wrong with that. So, a little personality is kind of bleeding through, by the way. Welcome into another episode of the Second String Podcast. Things are just rolling right along here as spring fever is kicking in big. We got a lot of baseball to get to, some basketball maybe. I'll throw some golf in there if you want to.
Adam, it doesn't matter.
We'll just see where the show goes. But a little personality bleeding through when I asked Adam, who sat down and like literally like, hey, Adam, what do you want to play to start the show? Spice Girls. And I was like, why Spice Girls? He's like, why not? And I was like, good answer. But I can't. I got no problem with that at all. So I started thinking. I was like, that's nostalgic. And I'm a big nostalgic person, Adam. Are you?
All the time. Listen, if I could go back to the 90s, mm-hmm. early 2000s, I would do it. I would definitely do it. And I know that we've come so far in so many things. I mean, the cell phones back then were not what they are today. Maybe that's a good thing.
Do you browse TikTok at all?
Yeah, I do. I do. I have it.
I don't make TikToks. I've put like one video together. It was like me showing a hike I was on. It was not funny. It was not informative. It was just like a good nature scene. That's like the one TikTok I've made. But I love wasting hours just scrolling through TikTok.
That's what it's meant for.
I'm an advocate. I love it. I cannot get my wife to download. I'm not doing that. It's like, why? I don't understand. The Chinese are not going to knock on our door.
They'll never come over here now.
I feel safe having TikTok on my phone. That being said, I love nostalgia, and TikTok has a great algorithm. It's like top secret algorithm. It knows how long you watch a video. It knows what you like. It knows like how fast you scroll off of other things, and it customizes your feed based on all that. So if you see something on TikTok, Adam, that you loved, that hit me in the feels, give it a like, because that's telling TikTok, I want more of this.
Of that.
I want this kind of stuff in my TikTok. So over the years of having it, I have liked several like nostalgic videos. There's a few accounts that will like, just have this, I don't know these people, but it'll be like high school in 2001, and it'll be like a song that's
playing. I have that on my Instagram. I swear that they talk to each other. These apps, they talk to each other.
But it'll play that nostalgic song. Yeah. It'll show like little clips of people being goofy and whatnot. The thing I love most about it, now we're in the same age window. I'm 40 years old. I actually graduated high school in 2001.
Okay, so you're right there, yeah.
Right there. So basically, what is pointed out in the comments, and I go peruse them for a little bit, is like, man, look how everybody is like super interactive with the camera. Everybody's having fun with each other without a cell phone in sight. And the reason they're interactive with the camera is if you were to walk around, say, the building right here with your phone out and a camera, and you're just walking around videoing people, making them say what's up, they'd be like, Adam, what are you doing?
Right.
Like I'm not in the mood right now. I don't want to do that. In 2001, that meant that somebody had a camcorder, and not everybody walked around with camcorder. So if
no one saw
a camcorder, you're going to act a fool.
Of course.
You're going to be like, yeah, my man Adam is filming. Let's do something goofy. It was just fun. And I'm with you. I think you said it a second ago. I'm just going to flat out say it. The 90s, even the early 2000s, the world was just better.
Different. They got excited over little things, Logan, like the camcorder.
I don't hate my life now. In fact, I love my life. No. I love a lot about this world, but there's a lot that's gone wrong over the years, too.
So another thing, too, is, you know, you see a camcorder. I wonder if we made a camcorder now and took that around.
Yeah.
Let's just say pick a high school, say, hey, the principal, we just want to go around and see their reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what people would do if they actually saw a physical camcorder.
You know,
they'd be freaked out.
One thing, some people do this. I've got one of my favorite bands in the world, the Future Birds. They're out touring around. But one thing they do on their Instagram every once in a while, somebody in the band or the crew or whatever will pull out an actual film camera, like not a video camera, like a film still camera. And they'll take them and I guess go get them developed somewhere. But then they'll like post those pictures, like six or seven of them, of a concert, and I'll be damned if it doesn't make it look like it's 1999.
It's awesome, isn't it?
It's insane. So, like, we have that nostalgic pull for, like, that just, like, level of quality.
We would take Polaroids out, a Polaroid camera, because you could still get those, those mini ones, and we would take them, get Polaroids, and we would post those as well, and people are like, what year was that?
Was there
it was just down the other day. Yeah. That's all it was.
Was there ever anything more fun and scary and exciting as rolling up to the CVS and getting your pictures back that you have no idea what's going
to
be on those 24 pictures, man?
It's hard to top that.
How much fun does that sound like? Like, hey, we had this debaucherous night. I woke up with a full disposable camera, all no more pictures.
Stuff.
Now I got to go drop it off, and 3 days later, we'll see what we got.
What better job is it the person developing those pictures?
I've always thought they've seen some stuff.
They've seen everything, right?
There's got to be like a contract you have to sign to be like, hey, I'm not going to rat you out, or I'm not going to make it awkward when you come pick these photos up.
Yeah, right. But listen, I mean, if you've seen something, and especially if you're working at the local CVS, or back in the day we had Rite Aid back where I'm from in Pennsylvania, you know, and you know those people, and you happen to, you know, develop their film, and like, oh. So what were you doing over the weekend? Oh, nothing. Here you go.
Remember the end of the movie The Hangover when you finally got to see all the pictures were taken? I feel like the guy at the Rite Aid or CVS, he sees those. And then when you come pick them up, I'm not going to call you out, but I'm going to side-eye you a little bit when I hand them back to you like, bro, I know what's in that bag, man. That's messed up. So here, real quick, before we get back into some sports talk, I asked you before we went on air. I was like, since we're talking nostalgia and how much we love it, like, what is a song that stops you in your tracks?
It took me a while because I was thinking about, but man, there's a song that is about, well, we really can't talk about what it's about.
Well, we'll let you decipher that.
Yeah, but this song, you could play this today in any bar or club or anywhere you go on the radio, and people will love it. Right, this one. It's called Too Close by a group named Next, and they only had like two or three songs. This was their big one, and it was a number one song for the longest time.
Let it kick in here.
Oh, yeah, this is it.
Fantastic. This takes me to high school, man.
This is it.
This got up to number three in 1998.
Oh, I thought it was number one.
It probably hit number one at some point, at the Billboard year end, when it's like average accumulative. But it definitely hit number one.
See, this is where they start to talk about what the song's about.
If you start deciphering the song, it's like, hey, that was a really catchy song that my, like, 12-year-old kids were singing. And let me go look at the lyrics. Oh, Okay, well, it's nothing unsafe for radio. I mean,
no,
you can play it.
You can play it, but when you finally
there's
figure out what it is.
Insinuations, let's put it that way.
But it's really... Yeah, what was that? What did you say? Bump or pump?
He had a cell phone in his pocket.
That's what it was.
Cell phone.
Brand new cell phone.
98, we all had cell phones in our pocket.
The very difficult ones to keep in your pocket. Yeah.
I've got one, too. I'll play this myself. This is one of those that just, like, makes me stop and remember what, like, high school, hanging out with the guys, like, the sleepovers we'd have with, like, the sneaking out at night doing things in the neighborhood. We had a place, a good buddy of mine, that we would sleep over at his house, a few guys, but we'd always, like... middle of the night, slip out the back door without the parents knowing, and we'd walk like a mile to the gas station, the 24-hour gas station. That was like living your best freaking life, man. We weren't even like drinking, honestly. It was just going to the gas station and grabbing some like candy and Coke as like freshmen in high school.
And being out at that age, I remember doing the same thing in high school. We'd be walking around the neighborhood or whatever, and we thought, oh, we got to make sure no cops are going to see us. Well, no one.
We're going to jail. They wouldn't care.
No.
All right, here it is. You ready? Yeah. This will stop you too.
Oh, man. This is prime. This kind of music that got so big in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Goofy Dolls is great, by the way.
Alive, they're awesome.
I can't like dive deep into their like deep tracks, but like what they put out on mainstream radio, I thought was fantastic.
Listen, they actually came out. They were really hard before they came out with this song. They had a song called Name before this.
Oh yeah, know that.
Very
but
before
song.
That, they were really hard, like hardcore. And then they were like, "Well, we got to make some money." And then they have gone on a tear. And if you go see them, they sell out their shows with Train. They usually tour with Train.
It's a good combo, by the way. Now, this song, in fact, one of the things I have favorited on my TikTok, I'd have to go scroll far back and find it, but it's them performing this song in, like, the pouring down rain at some concert. It just, like, it hits you in the feels,
man.
The
perfect backdrop is
rain.
Hits
you in the feels.
And a guy that plays guitar and sings like Johnny Resnick.
You can associate with this many, many years ago, since we're being nostalgic now. I went to the, what was that concert they had in downtown Atlanta for a long time?
Music Midtown.
Yep. Before it was in, like, Piedmont Park. It used to be over at, I can never remember the name of the park, over by, like, the Georgia Power building.
Are you talking about Central Park?
Is it Central Park? Yeah. Sometimes I think Central Park as like in Centennial. Central Park, that's exactly where it was. This would have been maybe 2002 or 3, but the band Live was playing.
Yeah.
And they busted out Lightning Crashes, another good nostalgic song. And I swear to God, like you could not have planned it better when they got to the thing, Lightning Crashes. Boom, right? The storm was like coming in. We all knew it was about to rain, but it could not have been planned better.
That you can't
make
that.
And
stuff
this
up.
Is before we all had video phones, and I don't have a video of it.
Did anybody run?
It was one of those, like, I think we all recognized the moment at the same time. We're just, like, cheering, like, yeah, this is awesome. And I don't even think it got bad enough to, like, cancel the show. Like, they kept going on. It did rain a little bit, but I don't think it was as bad a weather as we thought it was going to be.
Man, that's a moment
you'll never have.
Yeah,
man. That's a core memory moment there, man, with, like, no visual or audio evidence anywhere.
Nothing.
Maybe you can find it on a YouTube channel somewhere.
I have no idea.
No clue.
Get one of those big video cameras out there.
That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, we're marching along, pun intended, it's March now. Why not? Yeah. We are now in March 7th. We are about to fill out brackets.
Man, here's the thing about these brackets is this is when I start really following college basketball. And obviously, I don't think there's going to be any teams from Georgia that's going to make it.
Unfortunately,
the state of Georgia,
no. I can tell you Georgia will not, unless Georgia wins the SEC tournament, spoiler alert, we're not.
No.
That's the only path. Yeah, you're right. There's not going to be a team from Georgia, which is just another heartbreaking year. How does that happen?
So who do we follow? And that's the thing. And I'm looking at the top of the I don't even know. Though you look at
I'm not good with the standings right
now. No, and I look at UConn. Mm-hmm. I look at North Carolina. I wish the Big East was a little stronger than it used to be, but it doesn't seem like it is anymore. St. John's is in the news, but I don't know if they're ever going to make it because Rick Pitino is the coach. That's why they're in the news.
Here's your top 10. Just kind of take a mental note of these because we'll fill these brackets out soon. Houston 1, UConn, Purdue, Tennessee, Arizona, Iowa State. Get away, Ad. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Iowa State. No, it's not Iowa State. Mike. It is Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Sorry, number 6.
The Cyclones.
North Carolina, Marquette, Duke, Creighton, Baylor, Illinois, Auburn, Kansas, Kentucky, Alabama.
You got a lot of
your 16. Blue Bloods.
Houston won the Big 12 the other night, so that's good. I mean, it's all Blue Bloods. That's the thing, though, Logan, is you're not going to have a George Mason
anymore.
I don't think. With all the transferring now that you can do, those kids are going to try and go to a bigger school because they know.
Yeah, a lot of kids that succeed at the lower level says, hold on, I can do this at a bigger level. Yeah. I got a chance to transfer. Here's what I want to do, though. We usually, I hope we do this year, we'll have a bracket contest in the building here, something for low stakes. In fact, for IRS purposes, we're not gambling. We're doing it for fun.
No, it's all
but
fun.
But we're going to put money in a pot anyway, and the winner can go get
it. Right, gift cards.
Here's the best strategy I can come up with. How old is your daughter?
8.
I want her to fill my bracket out.
Oh, that'd be great.
She would have as good of a chance as I at filling out this bracket, and maybe you just ask her, hey, could a Houston Cougar go up against a Husky of UConn, so who would win the fight?
You take the animals.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Take the animals.
That's a great idea.
I like the mascot challenge of who could eat the other mascot.
I like that, too.
I like when you're dealing with kids of like, hey, Houston is red, UConn is blue. What's your favorite color between the two? Well, red, Daddy. Well, then we're going with Houston. We're going to take them.
Can you go with pronouncing? I mean, if you put a Marquette in front of them, are they going to be able to say Marquette or Duke?
Oh, gosh. How would your daughter pronounce Marquette? You know her well, obviously.
It would be Marquois.
She'd make the T silent.
Yeah. I think that's about it.
That's actually advanced. Is she like, do you know French?
Not there yet. I'm usually working on Italian first and then French.
Yeah. Then get her the French. Yeah. It's good for travel purposes.
Of course.
But yes, this is a good time of year, even though it is a little bit, Dave down the hall calls it March sadness, and he's not wrong because the Georgia Bulldogs will not be in the tournament, barring some 2008-like miracle at the SEC tournament.
Which I was at, by the
were
way.
You really?
I was there at the Georgia Dome.
Were you able? So you were there when the tornado hit.
I was there when the tornado.
Okay, let's just stop what we're talking about because that's the story I want right now. Start from scratch. Tell me everything.
So I did it on a whim. I was like, okay, the tournament's in town. The first game I saw, I went to all of them because if you bought a ticket, you could go to everything at that time. And I don't know if that's still that way. But
it's per day, but yeah.
So you could go to everything. And so I went, and the first one I saw was Texas A&M play somebody. Mm-hmm. And then I went, and I stayed longer, saw Georgia play, saw the next day. Mm-hmm. I was there, and I believe we had to move to Georgia Tech after the thing hit the dome.
If you've not seen it, you need to. There is an SEC story. It is the name of, it's like a 30 for 30 ESPN. The SEC Network has its own series of those like documentaries called SEC Story. They called it Miracle 3. I'll remind you of some details if you've forgotten about this. I forgot who it is. Forgive me. I don't have it in front of me. I believe it was Alabama and maybe Arkansas. I'd have to go check. But the point is, the Alabama player, whose name is also escaping me, hit a three-pointer at the end of regulation from the corner that was like a miracle shot. It went in. It was contested, but that forced overtime. If that ball did not go through, the game's over, and the fans leave the Georgia Dome, but instead everybody's like, oh, we got another period. We're going to stay here and watch this. Then the tornado hit. If the fans were exiting the Georgia Dome, you're probably talking about a mass casualty situation.
Oh, 100%.
So the fact that he made that shot, you can pretty much say definitively he saved a lot of lives.
That tornado not only ripped a little bit in the Georgia Dome, which isn't surprising, but it knocked out windows in the Westin downtown, the big, you know.
It was carnage, man.
So that is very true, and that is fortunate that happened. But I know that they had to end up moving the whole tournament.
I was at a movie in Atlantic Station with a group of friends, actually. I don't even remember what the movie was, but I remember coming out of the movie and then realizing, like, what the heck has happened? Like, while we were inside here, like, a storm of some magnitude came through. Then we started to realize the severity of, like, what's going on downtown and, like, we were living in Midtown at the time, but like it was just like ridiculous.
You know, the radio station I work for, it actually hit went by the tower and knocked us off the radio.
Really?
Yeah, for a good hour.
Yeah.
I mean that's the kind of thing though that when you see something hit a metro area like that, it's very concerning how much one storm can wipe out so much,
insane,
and how fortunate
man.
We were. In to the, not have to hey, have more casualties.
Miracle 3. Dude hit
That's
it.
That's all it was.
They did move the rest of this, the tournament over to Tech. Georgia was like the last number 12 seed, and they wound up winning the darn thing, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Georgia had to beat two teams in one day over at Tech. Think about that, playing a basketball game in the morning, then a couple of hours later you got to play again. Like that's
exhausting,
an insane ask for a group of athletes to play two, and then they won them both, and then they won the next day all as like the ultimate underdog. It's an amazing story of that 2008 SEC basketball tournament. SEC storied Miracle 3. Go find it on demand. It is worth your like hour and a half, man. It is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I recommend it too.
Adam, we're up on a break here real quick. Let's hit a break, come back. We'll wrap up our first half of the show, not hour number one. That's for the morning show on 960 The Ref. We're on WGAU right now, Adam. Second String Podcast. We'll come right back.
Let's do it.
Now back to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Oh, I feel it coming back again. Like
we got the nostalgia cranked up again, man.
I still know the words.
Oh, yeah. Feel free to sing if you want.
Man, you don't want me singing this live.
It's up to you, brother.
I can feel it. And when he says that part towards later in the song and he gets into it and the guitars break down.
Georgia was the sixth seed out of the East. They were overall the number 12 seed in the tournament. They beat number 3 Ole Miss, number 2 Kentucky, and number 1 Mississippi State in the same day. And then they beat Arkansas for the
unbelievable
championship. It's nuts. And the fact that you did it on Tech's court makes it even sweeter.
Yeah.
Speaking of Tech. Sorry, let me before we get to Tech, here we go.
Ed, what is his last name? Ed something. Olszewski. I can't remember how to pronounce his name. It's like a Polish name.
It's a good genre, man.
Man, he gets
it. It's a genre that has kind of slipped away from us. Creed, Nickelback, live.
But listen, they tour every year, so you can see, you can definitely see him every year.
Real quick, just a couple minutes before we have to break again. How about Georgia Tech giving old Georgia the middle finger on Friday night down in Atlanta, man? What a weird situation. Did you follow that on Friday?
I heard about it.
So here's what happened, man. Georgia went all the way, Georgia baseball, all the way down to Atlanta on Friday. It's just a crummy, crummy weather day.
Yeah.
All day long. And there's maybe a window we can get some baseball in at 6 o'clock. Well, Tech is like, no, we come on down. We're going to play baseball. Knowing that Georgia has to travel all the way from Athens. Okay, whatever.
In rush hour.
Get down there. You get warmed up. You finally, hey, it's still kind of raining. But, all right, no, we're going to play. Let's play. We got you where we want you. We're going to beat you. That's what Tech was thinking, right? So they start playing in sort of borderline iffy conditions. But they start playing. Well, Georgia brings the whipping stick, man. Georgia's up 9-3, all right? We're whipping Tech like it's nobody's business, having a good time doing it. We're 3 outs away from the – we get to the top of the fifth. We need 3 more outs on those guys, actually the bottom of the fifth, to make it an official game in case the rain does get heavier or whatever. That way we can have it as an official game. It'll count. If the weather becomes a factor, well, when it's time for Tech to come up to bat, they're like, I don't know, man. It's they're down 9-3. This rain's getting a little iffy, umps, and they lobby the umpires to get together and talk. And the umpires are like, all right, fine, we're gonna call this game. We're up 9-3. We went all the way down there, hit a couple home runs. Great outing by Charlie Goldstein, by the way, our pitcher. And they send everybody packing home to say, well, we'll try to get this thing worked out at a later day. Blah blah blah. That's Bush League, man.
Knowing they're not going to.
Total Bush League.
Let me tell you, Georgia got him back, though.
They did.
Especially,
they did.
Taking the series, going down to Athens, and then you go to Lawrenceville.
Yeah.
Tech is up by, feel like a mile.
9-3.
And then they come back and win 11-9.
That's the beautiful, the parody of it, Adam, is the fact that Georgia was down by the same score that it was up on Friday, 9-3, and you come back in the ninth and you beat Tech. And you send them with their little stingers back to Atlanta. And we did win in Athens, by the way. So two good wins over a Power 5 ACC school that could bode pretty well later on in the season. But
they're gold bibs.
In the 45 seconds right here, let me just remind people that it is never a bad day to hate Tech.
No.
They lie. They steal. They cheat. They're not good people. Now, some of them are. But the athletic department is not good people. I'll
always
say that
cheating.
Much. No, I got nothing against their university and their people that go there,
right,
but their
right,
sports
right.
stink, Adam.
Yeah, just seeing the mere two letters together.
Another just chapter in our Bush League rivalry that we have against each other. It's petty. I do like the petty level, but I'll just wrap up with this and say that the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I know Kirby Smart was watching that game on Friday. I think he's got a little something
He'll remember that.
Here between the hedges. We'll be right back on the Second String Podcast on WGAU.
You're listening to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Let me say,
Thank you, Adam, for letting us borrow your iPod.
Man, you would think that the next song could be Nickelback. Which I got nothing wrong with that. I used to think people made fun of them and they were cool to make fun of them. It's really not. Like, they're actually, these bands had a ton of hits and everybody loved them. They sold out shows and now they're coming back around and they're selling them.
What are you doing September 25th of this year? You got any plans?
I will clear my schedule if I think
I know you got kids, you got a job, you got things to do, but clear your schedule because I think you and I are going to go to the Creed Summer of 99 tour. They're going to bring back the Summer of 99 tour.
All right.
They're going to be at Ameris Bank Amphitheater over in Alpharetta. They're bringing with them Finger 11.
Oh, One Thing, that song.
And the fact, and they also they had a couple good songs.
They had a couple,
I'd have to go deep dive into Finger 11. But yeah, if you want to get high school nostalgic with me, let's go to Ameris Bank Amphitheater.
Man, every song's a hit from Creed.
How much are tickets on SeatGeek? Let's look
at
this real
fast.
I can get us in, Adam, for the low, low price. Hold on. Come on. Something went wrong.
While
that's
you're
not
looking,
good.
Listen, yeah. Do you remember there's a video on YouTube you can actually see where they did the 1997 or 1999 Cowboys Thanksgiving game, and had what looked like angels flying in the air.
They were angels in the air, Adam. Yeah.
It's one of the best. I love it. And you'll see it on some reel you're watching, you're flipping through your phone. I love it.
What do you call that? Like ribbon dancing or like curtain dancing? I know what you're talking
about. It's like Cirque du Soleil, but sort of, you know.
I had a friend that a high school friend, she got into that. I don't know if she ever got to a like performance level, but like you would see on her like social media her practicing the like, I don't know what you call it. You dance on a sheet.
How do you get into that though? Like
when you
look and you're like, okay, it's, you know what it is. It's the gymnastics they do in the Olympics, but it's not the competitive gymnastics. It's
rhythmic gymnastics.
That's what it is.
Yeah, man.
It's exactly what that is.
I took gymnastics as a kid. I can still do a cartwheel to this day.
Oh,
Adam.
Okay, that kind.
No, I think when we did all our performances, I had like a ribbon that we'd like walk around. I'm not talking about kindergarten.
Do you think you could do a cartwheel?
Yeah, I can. A few weeks ago, I did when I hurt my oblique. I told you this, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did. Yeah, at the lake.
It didn't go well.
No.
It took a couple days to unsore myself
after
that.
Maybe
try
the ribbon gymnastics.
Ribbon gymnastics. No, that Creed performance at the Cowboys game was epic. I found a T-shirt with that. Like, it's obviously like a mockery T-shirt, but I would wear the heck out of it, man. It's like got the big Creed sign. It's got the picture of the guy on the ribbon. It's got Scott Stapp just like getting into it. I think I want to buy that shirt after here's my goal. I'm going to lose a little bit of pounds coming up here pretty soon. I'm going to reward myself with a large, no, let's go extra large. Extra large,
yeah,
Creed T-shirt.
They'll shrink in the dryer.
And hopefully, yeah, exactly. Hopefully we'll keep that going. So anyway, tech sucks. Tech steals, lies, and cheats. Hopefully the football season will remind them of that as well.
Can I tell you a story? I know we were talking about sports because I don't know what you had on the agenda, but we did talk about this before the show, and it's all along the baseball thing. I know I got to see Georgia and Georgia Tech play the other day at Colray Field. But I want to talk to you about another baseball story that's coming out. And you understand how stadiums come and go. You know, look, Turner Field's still there, but it went pretty fast.
I'm 40 years old, and I've seen three different Braves stadiums
right,
in my
lifetime. Right, we've been three.
And, that's weird.
They're making upgrades at Truist Park this year. So upgrades already? Yeah, upgrades already.
Keep it moving.
How old is that thing? It's 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm scrolling through X, Twitter, and I see a story about Hall of Famer from the Kansas City Royals, George Brett. You know, one of my all-time favorite moments. Obviously, everybody knows the whole pine tar incident. If you don't know, you Google that. You'd be like, oh, that's George Brett. Okay. Well, their stadium, the Royal Stadium, a beautiful old stadium that they've kept up, looks like they may be getting rid of that and build another one just like everybody else likes to build.
Kauffman Stadium.
And it's a beautiful stadium. So he came out, and there's video of this. I don't know who was interviewing him about it. But he started talking about what he wanted if they tear down the stadium, which obviously, listen, if you're a player and you played your whole career, you're a legend there, give me a piece of something. Do you want a seat? Do you want a sign? Do you want us to cut out some of the turf? Whatever. No. He wants a urinal. Now, the story goes, he tried years ago when they were redoing Yankee Stadium, tearing down the old one. He tried to get one of the urinals because he believed Babe Ruth used that urinal. George Brett has five urinals in his house.
Maybe he's on to something, man.
But listen, the more important story is, okay, you want a urinal. That's weird. He wanted to trade out. And listen, you can go and see this on X. He gives you the whole spiel. Mm-hmm. This is not made up.
Here's a quote real quick, if I can interject here. It says, I want to get a urinal out of Royal Stadium and put it in my house. It's the only thing I want. I'm going to get one, I promise you. I'm going to go in the middle of the night and figure out how. My man George is getting himself a urinal.
And I mean, he could probably ask, and they'll be like, sure, okay, you can have this.
Wait. You said it was weird. Why do we not have more urinals in our houses?
Well, they're not functional for, listen, in our houses, you got females.
What if I'm living by myself? I mean, like, what if I just want a urinal next to a stall in the bathroom? I mean,
but how do they put those up? Like, those are heavy. And they're hanging them on a wall.
But money speaks, man. You can put anything you want in your house. I think we need to normalize the urinals in the house. That is the second string podcast political stance of 2024.
They are easier to clean.
Of course they are.
But
I'm team urinal. But I'm team George Brett going in the middle of the night and getting a urinal. How do you collect urinals? That's another thing about George. It's like a lot of us collect baseball cards or, I don't know, name something you collect. I mean, it's
right,
just,
hats.
Hats. Urinals?
Five of them in his house.
Hold on, he needs the...
How big is his house?
Probably pretty big. He made a lot of money over the years. So good for Brett. I love that story. I'm team Brett getting a urinal out of Kauffman Stadium and building that when they build the new one.
Well, Logan, no one else is going to want them.
Here's a goofy bathroom story. Since we're talking about toilets and baseball stadiums,
sure, yeah.
Here's something you can learn about me on the second string. Many, many, many years ago, let's call it 2006, maybe 2005, I was living by myself in Midtown, had a little hole-in-the-wall apartment. I mean, this thing was right on Piedmont Avenue and 5th Street, a beautiful little neighborhood, but it was basically like a nice house that every room, not every corner of the place, but every room was like an apartment.
I see.
All right. Six people living in this house. We didn't know each other. We're all separated off. Had my own room, my own bathroom, whatever.
Was that weird?
It was functional. What you needed if you were like just trying to make it.
Okay.
Needed a place in the city to live in. But they're nice people. But I was living alone, had a good group of friends, but I had a betta fish. You know what a betta fish
is?
Oh,
yeah. You don't want to stick your finger in
beautiful
that.
Beautiful betta fish. And he was gorgeous, but I named him Joey Gladstone. Remember Joey Gladstone from Full House?
Yes. I forgot about Joey Gladstone.
There was Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jesse.
Joey Gladstone and Danny Tanner.
Danny Tanner, yep.
So I named him Joey Gladstone just because I'm weird. I had no reason why, but I named him Joey Gladstone. But I was a huge, still in Braves watcher. I would get home from work, sit down, put my feet up in the recliner, and just watch the Braves. This is before, again, cell phones and smart apps and all that stuff. I just watched the Braves. I loved it. Joey was my Braves buddy, okay? He watched the game with me. Got my heart broken like 2 years after having this fish. I come home and he's just belly up. No explanation, no sign, no nothing. He just died.
Did you, what year was this?
Like 05 or 06, something like that.
The Braves were still semi,
not the greatest, but yeah. I was a frequent. I'd go to a lot of games.
I was going
to
say, did you not take him? Was he mad?
I lived on the MARTA train. I'd right by the MARTA station in Midtown. I'd hop on a train. You could get to Turner Field pretty easily with a bus transfer. And I'd buy like a dollar ticket. I went to a lot of Braves games that way. It was a lot of fun. But I figured, I was like, what do I do with this dead fish? I was actually like emotionally sad about it. Like he was my buddy.
I
love animals.
You
okay?
didn't do what
I did it, man. I used to smoke cigarettes back in the day. Don't judge me. But I took the cellophane off a cigarette pack. I put Joey in the cellophane, wrapped him up. Stuck him in my back pocket, went to a Braves game, and I flushed him down a toilet at Turner Field.
At Turner Field.
What do you do with a fish? You flush him down the toilet.
So you took the fish on MARTA,
mm-hmm.
on a bus,
yeah.
walked into the stadium. Mm-hmm. They didn't check your pockets.
No, didn't find the fish in my pocket.
And then you went and you flushed
and
him.
And I sent him to the sea from Turner Field because he was a Braves fan too, Adam. It's what he would have wanted.
You sent? Are you sure it went to the sea or the public works?
Probably the public works, but you know, eventually all things go to the sea.
They do, yeah.
So, yeah, that's my how weird is Logan's story today. I took a fish and flushed him down a toilet, Turner Field toilet.
Yeah.
So take that, Brett, George
fishy.
Brett.
Something was fishy about
so
that
So who's
story.
Weirder, me or George Brett?
Well, I mean, I don't. You have to get back to you on that because I'm thinking about
it.
Thinking it's, about this real.
Like this is two levels of weird. That
why
we
you chose
haven't seen.
A toilet in Turner Field?
Because he was a Braves fan. Gladstone watched the Braves, Adam. I don't know how else to say this.
I'd love
man.
To.
He was a
be,
Braves fan.
Did you consult
would he,
anybody?
Would
with
he
this?
Rather go down a toilet in a house that like five other people live in that he doesn't even know, or do you want me to take that bad boy down to Turner Field?
Probably past Turner Field in the pipes. Did you talk to anybody about this before you did it?
No.
Oh. So again, not many.
This is before I could just go like put this story on Facebook.
Right.
Like I didn't even do this for likes.
He's dead.
I did this because I felt like it was the right thing to do.
Genuine
to take
reasoning.
Joey to the ballpark. I probably should have taken him to a game while he was still alive. That would have been kind of cool.
I don't know if
like,
you can
hey,
do
that,
though. Like,
hey, what's that weirdo dude zooming with the fish tank up in the top
yeah,
of the
like
stands,
a fish
man.
Bowl.
Like,
who is that guy? Is he drinking out of it? No, he's got nuts. His fish.
So anyway, that's my I got nothing more to add.
I mean,
that's my
I don't
story.
Like we have more of the show, but I'm not sure how we're going to finish the show because I've never taken one of my animals. No, I have. We've had the pet nights at the ballparks, the various ballparks you go to. Mm-hmm. They do so, but that's not the same.
No.
That's a specific. There's no fish night at any ballpark I know of.
Ask me what I did with my dog when he died.
I don't know because you didn't tell us.
Nah, we didn't do anything with him. We cremated him.
Okay, well then, but he's forever in your house.
We're planning on putting him in the lake.
That makes because you always went to the lake.
He was a lake. Oh, he lived to be in the water. So when it gets a little nicer out and it's like more pretty, because right now I need leaves to come back on the trees. When it's a nice summer day and no one's around, we'll walk him down to the water and drop him in and say some final words and probably have another tear or two. And that's
wait till
be
the
it.
Pollen.
Pretty much.
Leaves.
Yeah, we don't want to mix him in with the pollen.
But no, that's a great idea. He'll always be at the lake.
That's
You'll
right.
probably be able to hear him, you know, at night or whatever, or who knows when.
Probably.
I soon. Always get that. So my dogs that have passed, and there's a few, but I think I hear their barks.
Really?
Yes. And I'm talking about outside. When you hear the dog bark, I'm like, I think that was Zola. I honestly think that was Bailey. And nah, because
Shipper would have a very distinctive howl. He was a howling hound, man. He has a.
I love those dogs that do those howling.
No, I'm not trying to get sappy or sentimental here at all because losing a dog is terrible.
Well, everybody's probably lost a dog
but
at some point.
But I still, I mean, it's only been a few months for me, a couple of months, but I every once in a while will have a dream that he's in.
Okay.
And I wake up in a good mood after that. It's
right.
Like, I mean, sometimes you'll wake up a little disoriented, like, oh, I was dreaming. You know how dreams are, but like. I always get like genuinely happy when I wake up and realize that, hey, Chipper was in my dream just a minute ago. It's happened like three times. It's not even long, but like it's a good feeling.
It's a great feeling because it takes you back. It's talk about nostalgic. It takes you back because when you wake up, and I've had that happen to me with Zola, who passed in 2017, that I'll be like, oh, she's still here. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that split second, you're like, oh, and then. Mm.
You know, speaking of nostalgia, that's kind of the theme of today's show. I get extraordinarily jealous, and we actually have some coworkers in the building that are still UGA students. They're just part-time, come in and do some remote tech work, or they'll do some newsroom things. They're on spring break this week.
Very jealous of that. I would love to have a week off just for no reason.
I don't envy, like, the workload of a college kid, because I remember how strenuous and, like, grueling college got before it was over. I don't even envy the like social aspects of like trying to find yourself, trying to fall in love if that's what you're looking for in college, whatnot. But what I do envy, Adam, is the college spring break.
Oh yeah,
those are some glory days.
Yep.
I don't know what you used to do. I used to go to Panama City with the boys.
We used to go from Pennsylvania. We used to go to Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
And that's where we go, which isn't too far from here. We used to go there and had a blast.
Yeah.
I don't know why Pennsylvania people, you didn't, I probably not going to Florida because it's a little bit too far.
Imagine you're going like to somewhere warmer.
Yeah.
And it's in that like direction. It's beautiful. I mean,
yeah.
it's kind of debaucherous. I know Myrtle Beach is known for partying, kind of.
It's all it's known for.
A little bit trashy, but in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, it's the South Carolina version of Panama City Beach.
They call it the Redneck Riviera for a reason, man. I've actually never spent time in Myrtle Beach, but I know people enjoy. But yeah, that trip with the boys, hopping in the car, knowing that you're going to go torture your livers for the next 7 days. Sleep is the most unimportant thing on the agenda. You have to get a little bit, but it'll probably be against your will when you finally just pass out from time to time.
Yeah, you sleep on the car ride.
Wake up,
it.
Sunburn. I mean, Luke Bryan has sang many songs about the spring break in college, but this week in particular, man, no joke, I really do like sitting. I get kind of in my feels. I look around and be like, man, there are a group of dudes or a group of girls, whatever, down and doing their spring break college thing right now, and they are making those stories and memories that they'll tell when they're our age, Adam.
So,
I get jealous of that.
So, but here's my question is, what percentage of those memories do you remember?
6%.
Say.
That's the high side.
Because I can remember going, I can remember being on the beach, and that's about it.
But I think part of the appreciation for like what they're doing now is that we have like made it as adults. You know what
yes.
I'm saying? Like we have made, like I love my life. I love everything about everything that I do, my family, my wife, everything. But, like, I would not trade that to go back to doing college spring break, but like I will absolutely like get in my feels and think of like, man, those were some good times back in the day.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd want to go back and redo all that.
No. I don't think I could redo my crazy party era again.
Well, you can't now.
No.
There's no God, way the no. things that you can't do it.
I'm lucky I survived it.
Right.
A lot of us are. We all made some sketchy decisions here and there, but we got some coworkers that are living their best lives down on spring break. But the good news about that, when they get back, we now know, I think it's whatever the Wednesday or Tuesday of next week. What date is that? Any idea? I'll look it up real
quick. I'm going to say it's the 8th or 9th.
Next Tuesday, we're actually on the 7th right now.
So, so it's the 10th.
The 12th of 12th. Next week. The 12th is next Tuesday. That's when Georgia football spring practice starts. And don't know what we're going to learn. Don't know if we're going to learn anything. But there's a lot of new coaches, a lot of changeover. But I do enjoy spring practice because we get to talk a little bit about real football for a little while. Maybe we'll get some news out of it. Maybe we'll get some good reports about Carson Beck and others that are making their debuts. Eventually, G-Day on April 13th, which, by the way, is going to be Master Saturday. Not a big fan of them
why
doing it on
is
the
it,
same
why,
day.
Why do you think they put it on the same day this year?
It's ESPN. This is the first time in like 12 years they've done this. Georgia has always emphasized for many years now, we want our G-Day. We're going to do our G-Day the week after or before the Masters. It's usually been after the Masters because there are a lot of people that do both. I mean,
I know
it's elite, it's prestigious to go to the Masters, but all of the big prestigious donors at the University of Georgia, they find ways to do that stuff. It very much is a State of Georgia thing. So to do it on the same day, I think, is not the right decision. But we don't control that. I promise you, if Kirby Smart and Georgia were making the rules, they would be doing it the following week on the 20th. But ESPN, because everything's televised this day and everything's about the money, everything's about getting the most eyes on it as possible, they have told us essentially when it's going to happen. I don't agree with it, but that's what they're doing. So, April 13th.
Well, my question is, how do you think with the they got a couple new coaches. The one went to Georgia State.
Del McGee.
Pulled some coaches from Georgia over to Georgia State. Replacing them, is there going to be any sort of drop-off in the running backs? And
I don't think so. I can't think of the guy's name we brought over from Georgia Tech off the top of my head. But the good running back coach with a lot of history of high school coaching – in South Georgia specifically over, I think it's Colquitt County and elsewhere.
Oh, the Packers.
But,
look at that.
Yeah, but he's supposedly a very good recruiter.
Which is what they are,
yeah,
though.
Absolutely.
I mean, they are recruiters.
I can't think of his name. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. Adam Josh Crawford.
Yeah. See, and that's one thing that I didn't receive or didn't realize is a lot of these assistant coaches are the guys that are out there on the ground with Kirby.
Oh, yeah. No, it's an operation.
That, yeah.
It's a well-oiled machine. And James Coley, who's been at Georgia before as a wide receiver coach and an offensive coordinator, wasn't the most successful offensive coordinator, but Mike Bobo is. That's the good news, and he's still around. James Coley will be our new wide receiver coach. They're both really, really good recruiters, and that's why they're back. And if they move on to another position down the road in a few years or next year, then Kirby will just replace him with somebody else.
Sounds like that just taking another page out of his mentor, Nick Saban.
Kirby has earned my faith when it comes to building a roster and a coaching staff. I don't lose a wink of sleep over any of it. Adam, we got a break real quick. We're going long. We're going to come back and wrap things up on another great edition of the Second String Podcast right here on WGAU.
You're listening to The Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
But you should be mine across that line.
All right, Adam, here's what I'm doing literally as we speak. I'm not even making this up, man. I'm going to open up my Apple Music playlist. I've got a playlist called Garage Beers Rock.
Tell me what you got.
Well, I'm adding Finger 11.
What else is on there?
On my list?
Yeah, give me a few songs.
I'm just gonna throw some random while I'm scrolling. I've got a Like a Stone and I Am the Highway by Audioslave.
All right,
got a few Blink 182 songs in there. How about The Red by Chevelle? Remember that song?
Wow, you're That's doing Chevelle.
One.
Okay.
A Stupid Girl by Cold. Remember Butterfly by Crazy Town?
Yeah, that was one of the
best
ones.
Several Creed songs are on there. How about My Immortal by Evanescence?
Yeah,
that was a deep song.
Man, that's deep. I don't want to say it's dark. It's deep. But
the
not dark.
Way by the Fastball. Take a Picture by Filter. That's
Filter,
a really good
yeah,
one, by
take
the
a
way.
Picture. That's it's similar to this song in the way the BPMs is what they call it. Yeah.
Shimmer by Fuel is a good song.
Great one.
Several Incubus songs. A lot of Kid Rock is on there. I even threw some Limp Bizkit. There's like five or six Linkin Park songs. Do have some Nickelback. Not gonna lie. Hide from it.
So
how about Last Resort by Papa Roach?
Oh man,
that'll get you raging.
I feel like that we should be putting on some Affliction shirts right now.
No doubt.
And you know, you get your hair spiky and you go ahead and you do that. That's...
Here's a song that I listen to at the gym from time to time, and this will get you like pumping up. Schism by Tool. You remember that song?
I know Tool. I think I know that song.
Schism goes, it's a long song, but it goes in and out of like some real raging moments and some real like just like, I don't know, it's hard to explain. I'm going to see if I can pull it up real quick while we're on air.
Your playlist, I mean, that's a good.
I can send you that playlist. Do you have Apple Music?
I do, yeah.
I can send you that playlist. You can add to it if you want to.
Man, that's a really good playlist.
I'm just kind of killing time. You know when you bring a song up on a certain video now, see, network?
When we're talking about songs, and now we go down a rabbit hole for the show, it's like, oh, wait, I want to hear this song.
All right,
it's
do you remember
gonna
this
happen.
This song? Wait for it.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Is this ringing any bells?
Yeah, I remember this.
This one, I'm going to fast forward a little bit here.
This is one you get lost
Imagine
into.
Imagine when you need like two more reps on that butterfly machine.
This
you're like,
you
need it, and you're digging deep.
And it gives you enough time to get yourself together and get those reps in.
More fast forward.
Listening to this guitar.
I'm not a big Tool connoisseur at all. A lot of my like grunge fringe in high school would wear like the Tool shirts. I never got into them, but this is a banger.
Tool was one of those grunge bands that not all the cool grunge bands could sit with them, but they know they're out there and they know they're a threat to their grungeism.
Absolutely. Hey, 2 minutes left. The time flies on this thing. We can actually kind of revisit this next week a little bit more. In fact, I'll give you and our cheeseheads a homework assignment. ESPN's Chris Lowe wrote a very lengthy article on ESPN this week. It is free. It's not behind a paywall. Documenting or outlining the last couple of days before Nick Saban quit and like the search for the next coach afterwards.
I heard a little bit of this. I did.
It's a little bit damning. I'm not going to lie. I came away reading that thinking Nick Saban quit. He didn't retire. I mean, he did. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he actually threw the towel in and said, this is not for me anymore because of the transfer portal, because of the egos that's being developed in this whole new college football age. I can factually say, or my opinion, both. Well, my opinion and a fact, the transfer portal and NIL ran Nick Saban out of college
football. And who else will it run out in the next couple of years?
That's the $1 million. It's already happening elsewhere. It's not just Nick Saban. But he had some damning things to say about the players that he's still allegedly mentoring over at Alabama. I don't think it was a glamorous article at all for Alabama or Nick Saban, to be honest with you. But go read that. We'll talk a little bit more about it because I'm reveling in the fact that, one, Nick Saban's gone. I've wanted him out of college football forever because he is a hurdle and he stops my team from winning. And two, it's just kind of, hey, I think Kirby Smart's cut out for this. Is he going to be running 5 years, 10 years?
Right.
I don't know.
It's the toll it takes. He could be cut out for it for a small period of time, but who is going to be cut out for it for a long period of time?
I'm saying.
The egos, the money, and just the fickleness of kids.
I love college football, and I always will, Adam, but it's just different at this point. Yeah. We have got to go. 9 seconds. Give someone piece of advice. Anything.
Don't drink yellow snow.
Don't drink yellow snow. That's words of Adam. We'll see you next week on the Second String Podcast on WGAU.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.